Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this word. Hallelujah. Father, we submit this service to you right now in Jesus' name. I love when the Holy Spirit comes here and is with us, Father, in praise and worship, in announcements, in the offering, Father. And I love when the Holy Spirit comes in the Word of God. Father, we just welcome Him. We allow Him in this place to deliver what He wants delivered. We submit our ears to hear it. Father, I submit my lips to speak it. Father, I just thank you and praise you that your word is what gives us hope. Your word is what gives us strength. Your word is what gives us what we need for this day-to-day life we live. Father, I thank you that your word is what gives us direction in this earth to know how to walk out the things that we need to walk out. Father, this earth can get kind of complicated at times. And I just thank you and praise you. Your word brings answers. It brings solutions. It brings strength to us when we're weak. It brings peace when we're in turmoil. Your word brings life when there's all death around us. And Father God, we just thank you for that. We thank you that your word is what we live our life based on. Your word is what we bring our life to and say we want to be more like it. So Father, I just thank you as we deliver the word today that it means something. It's not just another service, another message, another time we come together, Father, but the word means something. It has life and life more abundantly if we'll begin to press into it. Father, I pray that every ear will be open to hear the word of God. I pray that their distractions will be minimized. Father, because your word is going forth. I thank you more than anything else that the distraction of the flesh that we have to live in every single day is minimized. And Father God, we'll take ownership and take authority over our flesh because it's what we have to deal with in this earth. Father, I just thank you and praise you that we can do that. In Jesus' name, we can overcome the flesh through our spirit, and we can open our ears up to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we'll start at verse 13. Just a little bit of background on this. Romans, Paul is talking to the Roman people about law and something new that was entered into the earth at this point in time. Do you know that when he was speaking to the Roman people, the people of Rome, he was speaking something new? I mean, think about that. He was speaking something fresh, different. You know, prior to Paul approaching this people, they saw the Jewish nation as God's select people. A people they never could participate with, a people that they could never partake of the promises that they had, a people that God had somehow selected and dropped into the earth. And it wasn't a mystery in the earth that God did things through the nation of Israel, right? I mean, there's history there. Parting of the Red Sea, you know, all the things that happened, and a group of people coming in and taking over a whole region. You know, David was a conqueror, right? David was a conqueror, right? David was a warrior, right? Well, he didn't do that on his own. Okay? When the nation of Israel approached the walls of Jericho, they marched around, screamed a little bit, and the walls came down. They didn't do that on their own. That violates some natural laws I know about. I mean, I had to scream pretty loud to knock walls down. We have speakers nowadays, and I don't think we could do that. You know, they didn't have no speakers. Something happened, it was miraculous. And the nation of Israel was where God had made a statement to the world. Okay? He made a statement to the world. Well, when Paul came to the people of Rome, they kind of had a clue what's going on. They knew who this nation was. They knew they lived by different sets of principles and different laws governed them. In fact, Rome, to be able to come in and occupy the nation of Israel, they had to kind of kind of respect their customs to some degree. Otherwise, they would have never got commitment out of them. They had to cohabit with them. Okay? These people understood that. So Paul's reaching them now with a whole other message, a different message, a different set of ways of looking at things. It's fresh, it's new, it's exciting. So that's the background of Romans chapter 7. He's talking to people that knew something, or potentially knew something about the nation of Israel. They knew potentially that they lived under a set of rules and laws that governed how they did things. Okay? And there's a lot of background in the first part of the chapters. But in verse 13, he comes down to talking about summing up something. He says, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." What he's referring to is the law. The commandment, what he's referring to is the law. The commandment that's found in the law. You know the Ten Commandments? You ever heard of that? You know what I'm talking about, right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt. You know, we had a great debate over the Ten Commandments a few years ago on whether they should be presented in public square in the earth. Or in the United States, whether we should be able to... Well, that's what he's talking about, the Ten Commandments. Been here for a long time. Been around earth for a long time. He's talking about that, though. He's talking about the effect the Ten Commandments had upon him, or potentially anybody that was living under law. "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Okay, now let's think about this for a second. Let's break this verse down a little bit. What he's saying is that I know that in the law, in the commandment, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." Okay? Just break it down to simplicity. In the law, in the commandment, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." What he's saying here is that even though the law says, "Thou shalt not steal," there's still something at work within inside of him that says, "I feel like stealing." Okay? Now, we know that God raised the bar of righteousness when Jesus came. He raised the bar up a little bit. Okay? And if you look at the Gospels, you find that. He raised the bar. He said, if you even look at another, let's talk about husband and wife. Okay? So if a husband even looks at another with lustful eyes and has any kind of inkling towards it, that's sin. Okay? He said to the rich man that if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, give all your money away to the poor and come follow me. Okay? Jesus portrayed himself as raising the bar. Because what that irritated many people of the law, because they had a certain set of criteria they needed to walk in. And as long as they walked in that criteria, they were righteous before God. They felt so that they were righteous before God. Okay? But now this Jesus comes along and he says, guess what? I'm no longer just looking at what you're doing outwardly and how you're performing that which the law says to do. I'm going right into your heart and I'm saying, you have to do something with that. I mean, this is pretty perplexing. And I don't know about you, but when I read the law, this verse 13, there are times in my life when I can relate with that. You know, you ever been in a position where sin was in you and you felt like, you couldn't overcome it? It was just so overwhelming, you couldn't overcome it? whatever way it might have been or whatever means it might have come. Okay? Well, God is talking here through Paul about the fact that that plagues humanity. You know, I think most of us can relate with this verse. I mean, can I see a raise of hands? How many people can relate with Romans chapter 7, verse 13 through 20? I mean, how many of you guys have ever related with that? Okay? So much so that we come up with ways to teach the Word of God on how we, as Christians, are okay because of Romans chapter 7, because, you know, I can understand that that's what everybody's going through. That's what it says. Everybody's going through it. We come up with all kind of doctrines and things that says, you know what, we'll never overcome sin, or we can't overcome it because, you know, we're sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I don't practice. I hate it. So sin right now, you know, that's what irritates people in the world about Christianity or law or the righteousness that comes through religion, so to speak. Because it comes along with a set of rules and it says, you're going to live your life this way. Okay? And they're saying to themselves, well, first of all, I don't think I want to live that life that way. Okay, I like what I'm doing. And secondly, even if I chose to do it, I can never do it. I can't accomplish it. So why try? I mean, that's how the world looks at it. You know, you came along, John, you said, you're saved. Great, that's wonderful. But that's not helping me right now. Because the sin that I want to do or the sin that I will to do, I seem to be doing that. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of way out of it. I get frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated as a Christian? I mean, have you ever felt like sometimes you want to give up? Have you ever felt like sometimes you just want to quit? Have you ever felt like this road is too difficult to hoe sometimes? I mean, I know I have. Because God's put down a righteous requirement that comes through law. Well, that's fine. And then even as a Christian, we go beyond that. Jesus said, well, you know what? Now I'm talking about your heart. You got to go way down deeper than that. Because it's easy. I can come and come into Pastor Cook's office, and I can sit down on his desk, and I can say, Pastor Cook, you know, I'm really liking you today. Okay, you're a cool guy, and I can talk, and we can fellowship, and we have a thing, and then all of a sudden everything's great. Okay, and then I walk out, and oh, that was good. I like Pastor Cook. But then some day comes along where Pastor Cook does something that just irritates me. It bugs me big time. And going in and sitting in his office is no longer fun. Because I really don't like him. I did like him, but he did something that irritated me. And he doesn't seem to want to change at all. He doesn't care that he bothered me. He doesn't care whatsoever that he's bugging me. He doesn't seem to have any respect or care at all that I'm bugged by him. I mean, that's at least how I see it. All right? So, you know, all of a sudden this begins to well up inside of me, this thing, this anxiety. And you know what begins to well up inside of me is hatred, division, strife, contention. And I know, because I look at the Word of God, and I know that those things aren't good. But then I go to Romans chapter 7 and I say, gosh, I know I'm sold under sin. I can't seem to overcome this thing. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go. And we as Christians can live there in Romans chapter 7. Do you know that? You know, Romans chapter 7 is where all nations, people, forever have lived in a state of frustration that they cannot do the righteous requirements of the law. A state of frustration that they can't accomplish what God put before them to accomplish. It's like God's up here and saying, here's my standard, and we're down here, these little lowly people that'll never reach it. It can get frustrating at times. It can get frustrating at times. So my question, my answer to you is there a fix for that? I believe there is. Okay? Because what I've just described is happening everywhere in all of creation. I've read quite a few books lately, and I just can see, you know, it's all good and easy till something happens different. You know? It's all good and easy till some kind of roadblock comes in your life. It's all good and easy until the newness wears off. Okay? And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the rubber begins to meet the road. Two things rob people of peace of mind. Something they started and did not finish, or something they have yet to begin. Two things rob people of peace of mind. Something they've started and did not finish, and or something they've never started. I'm going to tell you what, I believe, I'm going to make a bold statement. I personally believe, because of what I know of Jesus and what He's done for me, there is no way to get peace of mind except through Him. You will sit here, you know, what, I don't care what religion, what denomination, what place you are in life, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, I don't care where you're at. I've seen people that seem to have it all together, money, they have everything, they get their vacations 5 times a year, and they do everything they want to do, they seem to have it all together. There's no peace in their life. Why? Because the only way to reach real peace is right there through Jesus Christ. I personally believe that. Okay? I've had success, I've had things, I've had good things, I've had bad things, and the only thing that ever brings me lasting peace, I'm talking about the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that goes deep inside my heart, the peace that drives deep down inside of me, is that Jesus Christ did something for me. Jesus Christ did something for me. So I'm going to say, we won't even talk about a work not yet begun. Because I'm telling you what, right now, the world will never have peace unless they begin a work. Unless they begin a work. And the work begins in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ. That work begins in Jesus Christ. The world will never have peace unless it begins a work. It starts a work. But I think what plagues Christians, what plagues me sometimes, is the second one. What gives me lack of peace is that I haven't finished what I began. And I think everyone here could probably relate to that. There are things in your life that God's told you to do that you probably started but didn't finish. Amen? Can anybody relate with that besides me? Is there things that God has told you to start that you never did? And guarantee you right now, until you begin that work and you begin to carry it through, you won't have peace of mind. Because God not just going to change His mind and all of a sudden decide to give you something different next day. Well, you didn't do that. Okay, I'll give you this. No, He just gives you one thing and then you've got to do it. And once you do that, He'll give you another. And then He'll give you another. He's a good steward. Have you ever been an employer of anybody? Ever been a manager of anybody? Any in this room? You know, a good employer gives people one thing to do. And then if they can handle one thing, they can do more. And He gives them another. When they're good stewards over that, they give them more. And then when they're good stewards over that, you give them more. The most effective employees, the most effective people, are the people that can handle more. Well, God's not dumb. I mean, if you haven't started and finished the one thing He's already given you, He's not giving you more. He's not dumb. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and grace for help in your time of need. You know, I painted a dilemma in Romans chapter 7, but I'm telling you right now that if we will hold fast our confession, as it says right here, because I said, number one, the way to peace is through Christ Jesus. First way to peace is through Christ Jesus. Simple. Until you have Jesus in your life, you don't have peace. I mean, that's why we sing the songs at Christmas time. Okay? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, you don't have peace. Let me say it boldly. You do not have peace till you have Jesus Christ in your life. Period. Over. Out. That's it. There's no other way to peace. And what is peace? Peace is that thing inside of us that makes us feel like we're okay. Because I've seen the rich, I've seen the successful, I've seen the people that have a somewhat successful mind, and they're in turmoil because they don't have peace. Because peace is something that goes beyond what's happening in the natural, and it roots itself inside of your spiritual man, inside of your heart. Peace is something that roots itself inside of your heart. You know, there's a person that could be in peace sitting in a prison camp. Okay? There's a person, I once heard a story about a Christian in I think it was China or somewhere, a persecuted Christian, who was sent to prison, and they basically had to sit in human waste up to their chest. That was their prison. I mean, we can't fathom that kind of prison. We're very nice to our prisoners in the United States. We give them a cell, we give them TVs, we give them radios. But you know, not all countries are like that. Well, this particular Christian was being persecuted because of his faith. He was a persecuted Christian in a country that wasn't tolerant of Christians. And that's what his prison cell was. He said he got closer to God there than he ever had in his whole life. How do you get peace in that kind of a situation? How do you get peace? How do you get the peace that passes all understanding in that type of situation? I can't even imagine it. I can't even fathom it. You can't either. But you know what? There is a peace that can rest in someone's heart that in that situation, they can know everything's okay. The only way to that peace is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory and to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be with praise. That's why I said you have to trust in Christ. It's the only way. To the praise of His glory, in whom we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. See, Romans chapter 7, when we look at that verse, it ain't talking about someone that's sitting under Jesus Christ. It's referring to someone that's trying to reach God through their flesh. Do you know you can try to reach God through your flesh as a Christian? You can try to reach God through your flesh as an unsaved person. You can try to reach God through your flesh in any religion that ever happened in this earth. And sadly, the only thing that other religions have in order to appease God is works in their flesh. But I thank God that I don't have just my works. I have something greater. I'm a son. Do you know? If you're sitting outside of the house of the master and you're a servant in that house, you can't go there in the house and be a son. I want you to imagine a big mansion on a hill and a servant's quarters underneath it. Okay? And all of humanity is in this servant's quarters. Every single person. And they got all kinds of beliefs and they got all kinds of thoughts and they got all kinds of things they believe. And there's a bunch of people that are Christians kind of hanging out in the servant's quarters. Okay? What you've got to get a mental picture of is that you don't belong in the servant's quarters anymore. That doesn't mean that we're not servants, because here and now, we hang out with servants. Because guess what? We're still on the earth. This earth is the servant's quarters. But we are a part of something different than what's in this earth. We are connected to something bigger than just what's in this earth. And even though this is where servanthood takes place, even though this is where everybody's serving together, whether you're saved or unsaved, this is the slave ground, the whatever you want to call it. This earth is the place where works are being done. Christian, unsaved, doesn't matter. A lot of work's being done. But I want you to get something in your mind. That we don't belong to the servant's house anymore. Because it said we have an inheritance. We've been seated with God in heavenly places. We are not seated here anymore. We're seated there. We're not a part of this house anymore. We're a part of that house. We're not servants or slaves anymore. We're sons and daughters in the Most High Kingdom. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when we look at Romans chapter 7 and we see the turmoil that this world goes through, trying to appease God, trying to work it out, trying their darndest, but they know inside of them they can't change anything. Well, we're not stuck in Romans chapter 7, are we? Thank God that the Bible is progressive. Go back to Romans. Let's look at chapter 8. Because it talks about where we live as born-again Christians. We can stay in Romans chapter 7. We can hang out there all day long. But it ain't going to help us. Verse 24, Romans chapter 7. I want you to look at that. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver us, people? Who's going to deliver us? I'm telling you right now, peace only comes to this earth one way. It's through Jesus Christ. Why? Because it says it right here in the Bible. And I happen to be included in that. Peace that comes from this way. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I might serve the law, serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want you to get something. Your spiritual man. Your spiritual man has been purchased. Your body is a custom as dead. Now what does that mean? It just means it's, you know, I used this illustration before. You know, you need to visualize your flesh as the glove on outside the hand. It is not the hand. It is not the real you. Your flesh is just something you're using right here, right now, in this earth, right now, to do things here. Your flesh is what keeps you rooted in the servant's house, which is earth. If you didn't have the flesh, you would be up there with Jesus. Okay? If you didn't have the flesh, you would be up there with Jesus. And you would be present with Him. Your body would stay here, but your spirit would be there. It's a mystery. I don't know how to explain it any other way other than, you know what? Your hand is your spirit. It's the real you. It's the eternal you. It's going to exist forever. The glove is the flesh we use to touch the world. And it has to be reckoned as dead. It has to become the glove that it's designed to be, which is to move where the hand wants it to be. If you imagine if you had a glove on your hand and it had a life of its own. If it had a life of its own, it could do whatever it wants. Well, I thank God when I put a glove on to do some work, my glove doesn't have a life of its own. It does what I want it to do. Amen? Well, that's what our spirit is. When we're born again, God's delivered our inner man, our spiritual man, the real us, into the kingdom of God. He's given us over to God's kingdom. We have now positioning. We're seated with Him. We're there with Him. Now, does it feel like it all the time? No. Gosh. It's not always easy. Because guess what? My flesh still has a life of its own. Unfortunately, I can use the glove illustration, but my glove still wants to do things. And I have to take dominion over it. I have to reconcile it as dead. I have to take dominion over my flesh, over the glove, over the things that are not godly. But I thank God that I am a wretched man, or I was a wretched man, but I'm not anymore. Oh, wretched man that I was, I'm not that anymore. I'm not a wretched man. I have peace, a peace that passes all understanding. I have the ability to overcome sin in my life. I have the ability to walk in kindness and truth. Not because of some law that was written and I know I have to force myself to do it. And even though I don't like Pastor Cook, I sit in there and I go, well, I'm going to have to sit here because it's required by the law. It says I have to love my brother. And I forced myself to do it, but yet there's no real interchange. I mean, we can do that because he might have something, I have to benefit from him somehow. Imagine yourself sitting there with your employer and you don't like him. Okay, well guess what? You need them. They write your paycheck. You know what? You need them. You know, Jesus talked about the master and the servant. It's amazing what Jesus says. Because He goes way beyond what we do in the natural. And He goes way beyond and He speaks right to the heart. And He says, you know what? If you have a heart. You know, Jesus talked about, or Paul talked about in Ephesians, talked about children and parents. You know, He's not giving a commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's not telling you something that's burdensome if you're a born-again Christian. But if you are unsaved, I'm telling you what, you got to force yourself to do that. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, it's not easy and light for those that are unsaved. Why? Because they don't have inside of them what it takes to overcome and do the righteousness of God. But when we get saved, the wretched man that I was is delivered. So we're delivered if we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He's referring to my spirit that was born again. That life inside of me, the hand that's in charge of the glove. Before, the glove was in charge of the hand. But when I got saved, my hand became in charge of the glove. And guess what? It's my hand that's living forever, not this stupid glove that I have to wear. You know, that's a great debate, you know. Some people believe that you don't live forever. Well, I'm not going to live naturally forever, but I personally believe that I'm going to exist somewhere after I die. You know? And there's a whole bunch of theories about that. But the best theory I've ever heard is the one that Jesus talks about. And I don't see it as a theory. I see it as reality. You know, it's interesting. I was reading an article the other day. And even now, you know, even more so, other religions are focusing on meditation to get into your Zen place or whatever it is. I mean, there's a million theories. Okay? But I don't need a theory. I got the Word of God on it. It tells me exactly where I'm at. And I know that inside of me is a spiritual man that God has positioned me to overcome my flesh with. I mean, getting into my Zen place is real easy. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, because I need you. And all of a sudden now, I don't need to sit on no rug for meditation for 500 years. I just need to position myself with Christ in heavenly places. Amen for that?
Amen.
I need to position myself in Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
Because that's where I'm designed to live. Forever. All I have to do is get my flesh to understand that I'm living there. It wants to fight the fact that I'm living there. It fights me every day. I'm living there. You know, I'm seated with God in heavenly places. I'm at this flesh. You got to shut up because all you are is here to serve. Flesh, you got to stop because my spiritual man is seated with God in heavenly places. And I'm going to take dominion over that which is natural. You read through the Bible and you see that all the way throughout. For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know what? The fact that He came and He saved me, set me free from the law of sin and death. That law that works in my outward man, it doesn't have dominion over me anymore. Praise God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, I can fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. So for me to sit there and hang out in Romans chapter 7 and say, oh, wretched that I am, I will to do, but I can't. It's all about position. Okay? That'd be as stupid as Bill Gates' son sitting in the driveway of his house saying, oh, wretched man that I am, if only I could go live in the house. If only. I can't get out of this driveway, but in his pocket is a key to the house. And in the house is a room with his name on it. But he's so stupid to think that he has to hang out in the driveway. It's all about position. See, what that son hasn't realized is that he's a son. And he has a key. And he has a room. See, what we have to do is switch our mindset from I can't overcome sin to the fact that I'm a son of the Most High God. He's given me dominion over my flesh. I no longer am subject to the dictates of what's going on around me because I can overcome the works of this world through God inside of me. I'm a son of the Most High God. I have a key to His kingdom. I have a room there that I can live in. I'm existing there. You know what? We're dually existing. I'm existing there, but I'm also existing here. Because my spirit transcends time, space, everything. Even though my flesh is here right now and it's a servant of this world, even though I'm locked up in this deadly world as a servant, I know that my spiritual man, my spiritual being is seated with Christ in heaven. That right now, as I exist, I'm present with God. You know, I may not be present naturally. I'm not existing here, right there, right now. But I know inside of me, all I have to do is turn something on. And I'm in Jesus Christ, sitting there in heavenly places with God, talking to Him, communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him.
Amen.
And when we talk about prayer, that's what we do. And if you're sitting here in sickness and in death and in poverty, you've got to see yourself seated with Him. Because that position in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, takes dominion over this world. Just like the nation of Israel, marching around a city called Jericho, natural law was transcended because they walked around a city. And then all of a sudden, they gave a scream. And guess what happened? The walls came down. I mean, there's time after time after time where God's Word transcends natural law. You don't believe in healing? Then you just don't know where you're seated. You don't believe you can't get in a position of prosperity in your life where you're not lacking and you can give people things that are in your heart to give them? You just haven't got a revelation of where you're seated. You're seated with God. You have to take dominion over this flesh. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. You have to take dominion over this flesh. You have to take dominion over this flesh. Go to Hebrews and we'll finish on this. Hebrews. I'm having a hard time finding Hebrews today. It's here somewhere. There it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, which means everything that I've said leads up to this. Therefore, everything he said, and if you want to read that prior, it's really actually quite good. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Don't forget that you're a son and a daughter in the kingdom of God. You're not hanging out in the servants' quarters, spiritually speaking. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If we endure chastening, God deals with us as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up because of trouble, but by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when you wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently. Listen, don't sell your birthright. You know, we can do that every day when we give in to our flesh. We can do that every day when we give in to the nature and the dictates that come out of our flesh. Don't sell your birthright. Remember, you are a son or a daughter in the Most High God. And that is what brings ultimate peace. So no matter what's going on around you, you have someone that understands you. You have someone that has authored and finished this race. All you have to do is understand how to jump into His race and be a partaker of it. Because He went there and He finished it. Now you have to just do the same thing. It's doable. It can happen. It takes commitment on our parts. It takes us pushing through, but we can do it. This race can be won. This race can be won. This race can be won. God's looking for a few racers to run the race. He's looking for a few people that will step up to the plate and say, I can do this. And you know what? We're not alone when we're doing it. I thank God that my spiritual, you know, even though I'm not with Jesus in body, I thank God that every single day, every single minute, every single second of my life, my spiritual man is connected. And He said He gave the Holy Spirit a seal for the redemption. That means when He gave us the Holy Spirit, when He gave us the third member of the Godhead to reside with us forever, as we enter in this race that we're in, He's hanging with me. Yep. He's not just saying, John, there's your race, go. He's right with me. He's connected. I got to run this thing, but He's right with me. There should be nothing that should stop us. But guess what? Just like Esau, for one morsel of food, a single moment of gratification, he sold his birthright. Do you know our flesh dictates that to us? Have you ever been in a position where your flesh wants to get something? And you have to compromise who you are spiritually. Don't allow that. Don't sell your birthright. Make sure God is first and foremost in your life. Run the race because he has already authored it. He's finished it. He also helps us in our times of need. He can understand what we're going through. He understands everything we're going through. Don't allow your life to become something that it's not supposed to be. Father, I just thank you that our lives are not going to become something they should not be. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to this earth to die for us. I thank you that you are the Most High God, Creator of the universe, the one that brings peace. And I thank you that you sent your Son that we could partake of that same peace. That we don't have to live in turmoil or stress. But we can have peace in our life. We can have peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that passes every situation. The peace that goes beyond everything happening in our life. The peace that moves way beyond it. Father, let my heart be rooted in that peace that moves way beyond it. Let me be a good steward over the things you've given me so that I can move on to the things you want to bring to me. Let me be a good steward over the things you've asked me to do so that you can give me more to do. Father, make sure that we are rooted in your love and in your peace. Father, help me to walk in love more and more. Help me to have compassion on a dying world. Help me to live in kindness and gentleness. Help me to have self-control in my life. Help me to walk in the joy that passes all understanding. Help me, Father God, to live a life that warrants what you've given me and what you've purchased for me. Help me, Father God, to be the person you've called me to be. Help me, Father. Help me. I thank you that you're here to help me. I thank you, you are my help in time and need. I thank you that you do not forsake me, but you're here with me. Father, you're not only here with me, but you're here with everyone else in this room. Father, I thank you for your word. For your word brings life and not death. Your word brings peace and not chaos. Father, I thank you that your word is a light shining in this dark earth. Father, let us walk in that same word so that we can be a light. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's stand. Hallelujah. I want to give the invitation, if there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, now is the time and here's the place to do it. If you're in a backslidden condition and you want to get your heart right again with God, then now is the time. We have personal workers that will work with you and help you. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then we have that open as also. And if you had any one of those three, would ask that you'd come forward right now. Be bold about it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but this is a very important decision. So if you want any one of those three, please come forward at this time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we just leave you with the Lord, okay? Father, we thank you for these precious people. We just pray you'll strengthen them. They be blessed, Lord. We thank you for the word that's gone forth, that it'll encourage and strengthen our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we'll remember it and think about it. Lord, that our minds will stay and remain upon You, and they'll reach out and touch those around us and the people around us, that we can bring them into the fold. Hallelujah. Father, bless each one now as they go their way. In Jesus' name. Amen.